first night I slept in the car park, I just felt lonely, to be honest with you. A lot of the time people just ignore you. Makes you feel less of a person as well. Sometimes you'd get so cold, it'd be hard to breathe. When I first met the Salvation Army, the first day made you really feel welcome. It was nice to have that, we hadn't had that in so long. It was talking about the Malachi place. I had a little look around. Within seconds, I was like, yeah, I'm moving. It was overwhelming. If I didn't find the Salvation Army, I don't think I'd be alive now. Words can't express what they've done for me, to be honest with you. It's just so massive. I feel safe. Yeah, this is my space. That's how I feel.
Good morning, everybody. I hope you're feeling fit and well this morning. It's not that long ago since we couldn't meet in this way. I don't know if you feel the same way. It's so easy to take for granted the privilege we have of gathering together. And as we look round, you see lots of faces of people that we were disconnected from when we were all on screen or watching at home. So this morning, just before we start our service, please go and find someone you've not said hello to this morning and shake their hand and say, it's good to be in the Lord's house. So go and do that now. Let's have lots of noise and lots of energy so everyone is going and saying hello to everyone. So find someone you've not spoken to this morning and just go and say hello. It's good to be in God's house. So it's great. It's great to be in God's house. And we just give thanks for a Sunday and an opportunity to worship. I need to have a bell, to ring the bell. It's been suggested I now do the benediction and we can go home. Now, I'm a little bit worried because I said if you could go and speak to someone you haven't spoken to this morning. And Ian Arnott went and spoke to Linda, his wife. So I'm not sure what's going on there. We maybe need to pray for them. But it's great. Isn't it good to be in God's house this morning and to be in a fellowship of our church family? Now, what I didn't realize is when you take on the leadership, you also become the Sergeant Major as well. So welcome to our Sunday worship. I've just got a few announcements to highlight, but we're very grateful for Pauline and all she does to bring together the newsletter. And the announcements I've been asked to emphasise say that on the 21st of October, we have Mary Bennett's funeral service at 2:30 at Chelmsford Crematorium. Also, our co-treasurer has reminded us that if you have harvest envelopes to return, note to self, then please make sure you give those to our Corps Sergeant Major, Ian Arnott. And sorry, that's news, it's hot off the press. he is still the co-treasurer at this point in time. But after my announcements this morning, he may be in line to be the Corps Sergeant Major. A number of prayer concerns or people we need to think out of. A number of people have had COVID vaccinations yesterday and are feeling quite poorly today. And so we think of them. And we especially think of Louise's aunt, Sue, who passed on Friday. And as we say in the Salvation Army, was promoted to glory. The band was able to play some music, which the family will be using at the funeral service. And Rob has asked me to pass on the thanks of the family. But we do think of Louise and the family at this time, and we remember them in our prayers. I think that's all the announcements that need to be highlighted. The rest are on the sheet that Pauline has prepared for us. Okay, Liz. Yeah, Liz, we will pray for your family situation. We'll pray into that situation. We've heard it's something we need to do more of. I'm part Methodist because I work for the Methodist Church, but quite often they have prayers of intercession where people can just call out names, and we don't do that maybe as often as we used to in the Salvation Army. So Liz, we will pray into that situation as well. Let's just pray just now into those situations. Dear Lord, you've brought us into your house this morning, and we come excited at the prospect of being able to worship together. But we remember those situations. We think especially of Louise and her Aunt Sue, and of Liz and the family situation there. We just know that although we may not know those individuals personally and the family situations personally, that you are already there and that you'll minister to those people who are hurting and bereaved at this time. We pray this in your name. Amen. Now, we're delighted to be able to take leadership today, and it's on a subject that I hopefully know a little bit about, so we should be on safe ground. But I thought that we would just, at the very beginning, as an introduction, be mindful that there are many situations in the world that are unjust and shameful. Children going hungry, human trafficking, genocide, warfare, the damage we are doing to our planet impacting on future generations. But this morning, we're going to consider the issue of homelessness. Today is indeed designated as Homeless Sunday. It feels as if there has been a real synergy between today's meeting and the previous two Sunday meetings led by Joe Justice and Tanya. The thread running through each is the word compassion. And compassion is a strong feeling of sympathy and sadness for the suffering of others and a wish to help them. And so we come in that spirit this morning. We come with that spirit of wishing to help others and support others at this time. We have a call to worship that Ruth is going to help me with this morning. And it's the song that we often sing, but we're going to use it as a call to worship, Beauty for Brokenness. I invite you to stand, please, as we share in this together, if you feel able to. Beauty for brokenness, hope for despair. Lord, in the suffering, this is our prayer. Bread for the children, justice, joy, peace. Sunrise to sunset, your kingdom increase.
Shelter for fragile lives, cures for their ills. Work for the craftsmen, trades for their skills. Land for the dispossessed, rights for the weak. Voices to plead the cause of those who can't speak. God of the poor,
friend of the weak, give us compassion, we pray. Melt our cold hearts, let tears fall like rain. Come change our love from a spark to a flame. Refuge from cruel wars, havens from fear, cities for sanctuary, freedoms to share, peace to the killing fields, scorched earth to green, Christ for the bitterness, his cross for the pain.
Rest for the ravaged earth, oceans and streams, plundered and poisoned, our future, our dreams. Lord, end our madness, carelessness, greed. Make us content with the things that we need.
God of the poor, friend of the weak, give us compassion, we pray. Melt our cold hearts, let tears fall like rain. Come change our love from a spark to a flame. Lighten our darkness, breathe on this frame, until your justice burns brightly again, until the nations learn of your ways, seek your salvation, and bring you their praise. God of the poor, friend of the weak, give us compassion, we pray. Melt our cold hearts, let tears fall like rain. Come change our love from a spark to a flame. We can remain standing, the band can be seated and ready to play, and we turn to a song, which I don't think the words are in the current songbook, but they remind us that no matter where we come from this morning, no matter what our circumstances, the Saviour now will give. The Saviour now will give eternal life to all who seek. The Saviour now will give. An introduction from the band, and then we sing the verses.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Please be seated. That took me back to the mid-1980s and a good old rousing salvation meeting. I hope it took you there as well. The Saviour now will give. We're just going to come into a time of prayer, and I'm just going to ask that we listen to the melody of a prayer chorus that says, "We're all seeking the same Saviour." A very simple chorus, but it reminds us that we are joined together as humanity. We're all seeking the same, self-same Lord. Let's sing this through twice together. We're all cares and concerns before you this morning. Lord, we know that the true peace is found in you. Help us to open our hearts and minds to you this morning and put our trust in you in order that we can indeed find our peace restored. We've been reminded over recent weeks that you are a God of compassion. We ask that you will help each of us to instill within our hearts the same spirit of compassion in our dealings and relationships with our fellow human beings. May they see the love of Christ in our eyes as we gaze upon them as our brothers and sisters, part of the family of God. Your word reminds us how easy it is for us as human beings to think more highly of ourselves, to judge others and feel that we are more worthy of your love and the adulation of our fellow men and women. Forgive us, Lord, for the times when we judge others, when we discriminate and are prejudiced in our actions. May your Holy Spirit prompt us and chide us in those moments. As we think about the injustice in this world and the impact that it has on those who are in desperate need, may our compassion overflow, may tears of compassion flow like rain, and let your fire of justice burn bright within us. As we think especially about the homeless on this designated Sunday, may we learn something new about this subject, and also knew about ourselves as we respond to this shameful reality within our towns and cities. May this great movement, the Salvation Army, raised by you, known the world over for its practical help and support to those marginalised, truly live up to its reputation as offering its heart to God and hand to man. We claim your presence this morning. In this holy place, may our worship be acceptable to you, may our music be sweet in your ear, and may the compassion in our hearts cause you to smile upon us. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. We're going to sing again. We can remain seated, but again, it's another good old salvation meeting type song. And it says, "Whosoever will may come." And for me, this is very much a song of inclusion. We live in a world where that has become a really important topic, where we're asked to consider the need for inclusion and for equity and equality in all things. And we're going to sing that song together, and then Major Bradbury is just going to come and pray with us as we think about the response as Christian people to that challenge of inclusion in today's society. Whosoever will.
Let's take a moment to pray together. We're reminding ourselves in that song that Jesus' words to the seeking Nicodemus was, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Father God, today, once again, we just come before you and thank you for that promise that whoever believes in Jesus, and all that he says has eternal life. Thank you, Lord, that you love this world so much, this world that you have created, this world that is yours. We're sorry where we've done less than our best for you. We're sorry for where we've failed you. And we pray that we might be examples in the future of people who are included in the whoever, people who are included in your love, people who know your salvation and your peace. Lord, so many people see themselves or feel outcast in the world today. We thank you that you say to them, "When you come to me, I won't cast you out. I still love you. I still want the best for you. We thank you that that's the message to the world. Come to me. Come to Jesus. Know his love. Know his peace. And all the rest of his presence and reality is yours as well. Lord, on a day like today, we think of those who are particularly engaged in dealing with folk who are on the margins of society. We think of those dealing with the homeless in a particular way. We think of those involved in warfare in so many other ways. We think of those who are struggling to come to terms with what is truth and what is reality and what is faith and what is doubt in the world today. We thank you because you still say, come to me. Come to me, and I won't cast you out. Whoever believes in me has eternal life. Thank you for your promise, Lord, today. And as we stand before you this morning, may we be people who are sharing that same message of the way in which you want to include people in your love today and every day. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
And now to my favourite part of the meeting. We look forward to the message from the singing company, please. So we've been listening to people talking this morning about it doesn't matter what talents we have, he can use them. However small, however great, he can use every single one of them. So we couldn't go by this morning without singing the next song. And that is, you don't have to be clever. and that Jesus has got, God has got a place for every single one of us. So if we can just sing that straight all the way through, please, if that's possible. And maybe stand to sing.
Thank you very much. Thank you. So I need, am I on? Brilliant. Okay, so I need, for our YP story, a homeless person. Can I find somebody that can come and help me come and be a homeless person? Anybody? Yeah, anybody? Yes. Fantastic. Oliver, welcome. So I wonder if you can help me. What sort of things do you think you would need if you were going to be homeless? So you're going to be sleeping out on the street. So what crucial things do you need?
Money.
Money, okay. There's £20.
Thanks.
Okay, come back. Okay, what else do you think you need?
Shelter.
Shelter. How about a coat to keep you warm? I'm sorry, it's my coat. And what else do you think you might need? Something to keep you warm at night? Something to sleep in? Some food? Okay, well, you've got your money, so you'll be able to buy your food. So we've got a blanket. Wrap you in your blanket. And we've got a sleeping bag. You don't have to take that out just now, but you can just keep that there. And then maybe something to make more money with. A job, possibly, or a guitar. There you are. You are all set up now, okay? Do you want to go and just take a seat sort of over on that side? Okay, we're going to call this homeless man. Can you see him on the screen, or do we need to get him to move in a little bit, Owen? Do you want to come and sit up here so that we can all see you, because otherwise we'll miss your beautiful face. Right, so we have got our homeless person who we're going to call James. James got himself into a little bit of trouble. He found himself living on the streets. This was a really scary time for him. Can you imagine sleeping underneath arches in the freezing cold? It's dark at night. You might not have anybody around you either. I guess you've all seen, have you all seen homeless people on the streets when you've been out visiting London maybe? Yeah? Out driving around? So it was very, very scary for him. One day, he saw a cat. I need somebody to come and be my cat. Have I got anybody that can come meet? Mally, do you want to come and be my cat? Okay, so there's the little cat. Okay, so if you go and stand over there, James saw the little cat. He thought the cat belonged to somebody else, and it looked very scraggly, very thin, and its fur looked all matted and very, very sad. James was worried because it had no collar that it might not belong to anybody. So he decided to take the cat to the vets. So we need a vet now. Have we got anybody that can be a vet for me? Is there anybody at the back that could be a vet? So we've got this manky cat that we're going to take to the vets. Who can help me? Anybody back there? Ella May, you going to come and be a vet for me? No? Okay, no, she's not. Don't worry, she's not. Zand, will you come and be a vet for me then? Come on. So I'm going to give you a vet's case, and if you go over there, then Mally, if you go with James, and I would take the cat to the vets for me. Do you think you can put your guitar down and take the cat to the vet? Okay, off you go then. Okay, Zand, are you going to try and have a little look at this cat? I think it might have a little sore on its leg as well. Okay, so can you fix it and patch it up for me? Okay, I will show you. There you are. You're going to patch it up for me, put a little bandage on it to make it feel better? Maybe even give it some medicine, because it might have worms, might have some fleas, and other things like that. So you're going to wrap it all up? Can you do a quick job? Fantastic. Now, James had to think of a name for this cat, so he decided to call this cat Bob. So, now that Bob's all bandaged up, can you give Bob back to James for me, Zand? He's had his medicine. And do you know what the vet's going to say? For doing all that work, he's going to make you pay some money. So how much does it come to, Zand? £20? Hand over the money. So James gave his last £20 to the vet to fix up Bob the cat. Okay, give back Bob the cat. Bob can go back. Anyway, over the next 2 weeks, James cared for Bob the cat, and Bob did amazingly, and he started to put on weight and get better, and he can take his bandages off now. So when he was better, James put him down on the floor and hoped that he would go back to his rightful owners. But Bob didn't. He just stayed by James all the time. So James and Bob became fantastic friends. And whenever James would go out busking for money, he would take Bob the cat with him. Do you think you would have got more money? Because people would come over, they'd stroke the cat and everything like that. So they became fabulous friends. And probably a lot of you by now will have guessed that this is based on a true story. And we have a picture for the back screen of Bob and James, the cat. Unfortunately, my cat was not Ginger. We couldn't find a Ginger cat this morning. But this just shows the love between two people. And James goes on to say in his book that it was because of the love of this cat that he turned his whole life round. It gave him a reason to live. So instead of just being alone in the world, he had somebody that he could love and care for, and that cat would give him love back. And it's a fantastic film if ever you get a chance to to watch it. And James had a lot of demons that he had to deal with, but the strength that he got from that cat gave him the strength to turn his life around, and they went on to have a flat and live together until, unfortunately, Bob passed away a couple of years ago. So not a happy ending to the story. But anyway, so God can take any of us, and he just shows us if we can be kind to people, that we can get so much back from that, so much love and care. Thank you so much.
Have the
£20. No, you can't have the £20 back. You've given it to the vet now, but I would need the £20 back from the vet, though, now as well. Where have we got to? Okay, time for a Bible reading. Thank you very much. Do you want me to take all those off you?
So our first Bible reading this morning is taken from Matthew 8, and it's verses 18 to 20, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. And when Jesus saw great multitudes around him, he gave a command to depart to the other side. Then a certain scribe came and said to him, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds have in the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Amen. We're now going to wait upon you for your offering. Thank you. That was absolutely beautiful. Thank you so much. Our second Bible reading this morning is taken from Matthew 25, verses 31 to 40. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from his goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you were hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Amen.
Ruth and I are going to bring to you a poem now, which is based on that Bible passage, but it has an alternative slant. The poem is anonymous, and so it makes a challenge to the church and to others today. And here are the words. "I was hungry,
and you formed a humanities group to discuss my hunger.
I was imprisoned,
and you crept off to your chapel and prayed for my release.
I was naked,
and in your mind you debated the morality of my appearance.
I was sick,
and you knelt and thanked God for your health.
I was homeless,
and you preached to me in the spiritual shelter of God's love.
I was lonely,
and you left me alone to pray for me.
You seem so holy, so close to God, but I am still very hungry and lonely and cold." We now listen to the message from the band, and I'm grateful to Adrian, who's taken charge of the band today. Thank you, Adrian. And they're going to bring to you the beautiful "They Need Christ."
Thank you.
Thank you to the band for reminding us of those words. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, we just pray that as we open your word this morning, as we consider what your Holy Spirit is saying to us, that we come before you with open hearts and open minds. Amen. As we read earlier, Jesus Christ spoke of being homeless. And whilst we understand that these were very different times and home ownership wasn't as it is today, the Son of Man speaks about having nowhere to lay his head. We were reminded earlier of scripture from Matthew chapter 8, verse 20. Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. We just have to walk a few hundred yards from this place to find people who are suffering the indignity of sleeping rough. Often these are individuals without a home and without hope. They sleep in shop doorways, and their bed is often a collection of cardboard boxes. They have nowhere to lay their head. Crisis estimates that around 227,000 people were experiencing the worst forms of homelessness, rough sleeping, sleeping in vans and sheds, and stuck in B&Bs. That was across England, Scotland and Wales in 2021. But homelessness is difficult to quantify. There are many different types of homelessness. The number of people sleeping rough has grown steadily since 2010. And despite four consecutive years of falling numbers, the current figures are 38% higher in 2022 than they were 12 years ago. And one fears that with the post-impact of COVID and the cost of living crisis, these figures could get worse. And the official rough sleeping figures are often thought to be considerably underestimated, as they rely on single night counts and estimates by local authorities. Reacting to the most recent count, Loretta Johnson, the Salvation Army's Director of Homelessness Services, said the figures should be met with caution. There are many myths and stereotypes and misconceptions about homeless people. People choose to be homeless. This is one that I hear the most. Why would someone choose such a difficult life? In reality, it's the lack of opportunities and circumstances that have chosen this life for homeless people. Homeless people are uneducated and lack work skills and experience. This is nonsense. Anyone from any background can find themselves homeless. Some of the most interesting and educated people I've met have been homeless. They're only homeless because they are lazy and don't want to work. Can you imagine the industry and energy that it takes to survive on the streets? There is certainly nothing lazy about living rough. It's almost impossible to get a job when you are of no fixed abode. It's necessary to have an address. It's not really the individual's fault that they cannot get work. It's more about the system. This makes it very hard for them to get a job. Homeless people are homeless due to addiction. It is true that for some, addiction is at the root of their homelessness. But for many, it has come afterwards as a coping method to survive living on the streets. These myths and misconceptions are not my experiences, having worked with the homeless and marginalised for over 30 years. My experience is very much one of, there but for the grace of God go you and I. And behind every homeless person is a story. I personally have come across a doctor in his 70s. He'd lost his wife, the love of his life. They were married for 52 years. He found himself lost and alone. He found his escape from this dark place in alcohol, and as a result, he lost his dignity and his home, finding himself on the streets, wishing his life was over, as this would allow him to reunite with his wife. A young mother in her 20s who grew up in an abusive home where she was told that she was worthless and that she was a mistake. Abused and misused, she turns to drugs as an escape from her pain, selling her body for her next fix. Mourning the loss of her children who've been taken into care, and living each day in the hell of her situation, unable to see a way out of this perpetual cycle of hurt and pain. A man in his 50s who made a mistake. He was unable to forgive himself. He chooses to run away from home, fleeing to London, trying to escape his inner turmoil, leaving behind his family and friends. He lies in a shop doorway, unable to see a way out of his spiraling guilt, unable to accept the love of his family and friends as he lies imprisoned in his mind. An ex-serviceman in his late 30s who cannot cope with the horrors of warfare, unable to adjust to civilian life, unable to sleep at night, angry with the world, unable to control his emotions and his temper to the point he is not able to be with his family. Now on the streets, determined to survive, but lost and forgotten in the warfare of his own mind. I could give many, many more examples. Behind the eyes of every homeless person, there is a story and a complex reason for their homeless situation. We can often hide behind the stereotypes and justify our actions or inactions. As Ruth mentioned before, the sights of people sleeping rough on our streets has become the norm. We are immune and desensitized to this unacceptable face of society's selfishness and greed. But if we believe we are each children of God, then we cannot ignore those suffering the indignity of sleeping rough. They are our brothers and sisters. When they are cold, we are cold. When they are hungry, we are hungry. In Africa, this feeling of humanity bound together by birth is known as Ubuntu. I hope I said that right, Ubuntu. Desmond Tutu was a great voice for the marginalised and excluded and the poor. He wasn't afraid to ruffle feathers and say it as it is. I like this quote from him on this subject, and it says this: a person with Ubuntu, a quality that includes compassion and humanity, is open and available to others, affirming of others, does not feel threatened that others are able and good, for he or she has a proper self-assurance that comes from knowing that he or she belongs in a greater whole, and is diminished when others are humiliated, or diminished when others are tortured or oppressed, or treated as if they were less than who they are. Ubuntu is a wonderful aspirational mindset, but very hard for us in the affluent West to live by. Yet it is at the heart of Christ's teaching. We read these words earlier from Matthew 25, verses 31 to 40. And it says, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" Then the king will reply, "I tell you the truth, Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. I wonder how connected you feel to that greater whole. We often talk about suffering humanity as if it's over there, but in reality, we are suffering humanity. We are part of the greater whole. We are bound together as children of God. We are all loved the same by God. We are all seeking the same Saviour. This is further illustrated by a letter written by Archbishop Desmond Tutu. Really, this morning's sermon is a collaboration between myself and Desmond. He writes in this letter to a newborn baby whose father had asked the Archbishop for some words of wisdom for his little girl. It reads like this. Paul, if you come forward, please. I had to look for someone that looked like an elderly old grandfather. Paul.
I thought it was more like a newborn baby. Dear Juliet, hello, little sister. You don't know me. I am a very old grandfather from South Africa, nearing the end of my journey on Earth, while your journey on another continent many miles away is just beginning. We may never meet on Earth, so I thought to send you a secret. Well, it's not really a secret because we should all know it, so I don't mind if you tell everyone else. Did you know that all people belong to one family, the human family? That although we may look nothing like each other, live in separate homes or no homes, practice our own cultures, subscribe to different religions, and some of us have more money than others, we are all sisters and brothers of God's family. You and I and everyone else, we are born with the same purpose, for love, for goodness, and for one another. God bless you. Desmond Tutu.
This Sunday is designated a day when we consider the issue of homelessness. The Sunday is chosen as its part of Homeless Week. But for those experiencing this issue, it goes way beyond a Sunday or a week in their lives. This is a subject that can often make us feel uncomfortable. The idea of our fellow human beings without shelter, often cold and hungry. But do we really come to church to feel comfortable? Surely each of us come on a Sunday to be challenged, to be prompted by the Holy Spirit into action. I entitled this morning's sermon, As I Look Into Your Homelessness. But in reality, most people turn away from looking into the faces of the homeless, or the homeless person themselves turns away and avoids eye contact as they feel of little worth. I am praying that this Sunday will impact on you, that you will make a personal response, that you will look into the eyes of the homeless and others who suffer as a result of injustice in this world. How does the issue of homelessness impact on you as a human being, as a Christian, as a member of this church? We may point to politicians, those who are responsible for such issues. We may point to them saying they should do more. The Prime Minister, the government, the local authority, housing providers. Yes, they could do more, but what about you? Charities such as QSR do their bit, offering 173 men without a home a place to call home each night. The Salvation Army is said to offer over 3,000 beds every night to rough sleepers. Homeless charities are doing their bit. They could do more if they had more resources. But what about you? The church, our church, we are doing our part. Food parcels, children's meals. We're looking to open our doors to give the cold a place to keep warm during this cost of living crisis and give those who are hungry a meal. And yes, the need is great, and we as a church could probably do more, but what about you? What is your personal response to the issue of homelessness and the many other issues in society that are wrong and unjust? This morning, I cannot tell you what your response should be. We're advised not to give money to beggars. These can be organised groups linked to human trafficking. If Gary was here, he could tell you more about this subject. Maybe our response could be to buy a hot drink or something to eat, to offer someone a coat or a blanket, to offer someone somewhere to lay their head, or just to offer them our time, not to judge them, to look into their eyes and speak to them, maybe to listen to their story. We should be open to the Holy Spirit prompting us to respond to our brothers and sisters in need. This morning I remind you of Desmond Tutu's words. You and I, and everyone else, we are born with the same purpose, for love, for goodness, and for one another. The next time you come across someone who's homeless, gaze into their eyes with the eyes of Christ. Look upon them as your brother and sister, part of the family of God. Hebrews 13:2 says this, and this is a warning to us all. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. This morning, may the Ubuntu, compassionate love of Jesus Christ, fill you as you personally respond to this issue. Amen. We're going to sing words that remind us that we are the hands and feet and eyes of Christ. As we sing these words, I invite you to respond. That might be just where you are in your seat, either here in the hall or at home. Or you may wish to come forward to this place of prayer and kneel. Or you can kneel just where you are at home. Thank you. we ask that you will have searched each of our hearts this morning, and we pray that your Holy Spirit will infill us and help us to respond to the many needs in this world. Amen. We now rise to sing our closing song, a great song that reminds us that we believe in God the Father, and especially this was chosen for verse 2 that says, I believe in transformation. God can change the hearts of men and refine the evil nature till it grows with grace again. Others may reject the weakling. I believe he can be strong. To the family of Jesus, all God's children may belong. And I hope there's an amen in your heart. Let's rise and sing this great song as we bring our time of worship to a close. Thank you. We come to the end of our time together and we're going to share in a benediction, but it's good to say thank you this morning. So thank you for coming. Thank you to Steve and all of our multimedia team for enhancing our worship. Again, thank you to Adrian and the band. Thank you to our songsters. Thank you to our sing company. And thank you to my wife. She's not very well, but she came out of her bed of sickness, as I say. That's never a nice thought, to just support me and to help us with our worship. And here is our benediction. It will hopefully come up in the screen. It's the prayer of vocation of St. Francis. And it says this, and we join together, Most High, glorious God, enlighten the darkness of our minds. Give us a right faith a firm hope and a perfect charity, so that we may always, in all things, act according to your holy will. Amen. Thank you. God bless.